Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazard coming to you from Warren, Ohio. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry. Going on down there in, like I said, in Atlanta, Georgia, Rock Talk Radio, Derek Oliver host. And we got old Tim Jackson on out of Texas, and his birthday, I think it was yesterday or sometime this week. Amen. I think he's celebrating his birthday. Glad to have him on with me. He's going to be on me with me for an hour. And we're going to talk about nobody but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about the return of Jesus Christ, which is on the horizon, not far away from us, the day that we're living in, because we're definitely living in the last days, the last days. And I can feel it. I can see it. I can hear it. I can, it's so vivid to me. Amen. Christ is getting ready to rapture the church of the living God, not my church, not your church, but the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood, shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, and that he came to die for the sins of the world. He came to die to save souls, and he's been doing it ever since the day of Pentecost until 2022. Today, souls are being saved through this ministry, through other ministries that's preaching the unadulterated word of God. Amen. I'm going to go right into prayer right now. Then after that, I'm going to give it over to old Tim. Amen. This is his birthday. Amen. I'm going to let him go ahead and start it off, get everything heated up. Amen. And we're going to talk about the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And definitely we're going to talk about the salvation that Jesus Christ brought 2,000 years ago. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity one more day. One more hour that we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would use Brother Tim, use Brother Bazard in preaching the gospel for the last and evil days. We know that the day is far gone. We know that the sun is going down. We know time is short. We know in your word, you said that there's a day coming when man would have to stand before judgment, and this judgment is soon to come. We know that the world is in a bad shape, but you can bring it out of the shape that it's in through your blood, through your sacrifice, through your death, through your resurrection. And Brother Tim, come on with your anointing him, Lord. Give him the power, give him the strength and know-how. We know that he's a man of God. We know that he's telling us, amen, and telling anybody that want to hear that Jesus Christ is the key to a new life. You got to have a new life before you get to heaven. That old life that you're living now, if you in sin, that's the old life. You were born with that. But Jesus Christ want to give you a new life. That new life comes by his shed blood. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for it right now. Touch him in the mighty name of Jesus, that he'll bring the word of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Tim, go ahead for me, buddy.
Amen, Doctor. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. I decided to take yesterday off. Amen. Just celebrating the day before, the day of, and the day after of my birth. Amen. It's a blessing. Amen. I tell people, amen, brother. I tell people, that's my holiday. Amen. I tell my job to men. Amen, brother. My holiday. Amen. I did not work on my birthday. Never have, never will. Amen. Only for the Lord will I work on my birthday. Amen. But if anybody else, I'll tell them in a heartbeat, you schedule me. You can look for it, and I ain't coming to work. This is my holiday. It's the day. Amen, brother. It's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. That's my
day. That's a blessing.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
That's
amen.
A blessing.
That's, you know. Amen. It is. You know, they got the 4th of July. They'll give y'all. They got Labor Day. They'll give y'all. They got Thanksgiving they give y'all. Amen. But no, the day that most, amen, brother. The day that matters the most to me is the day I was born. Amen. It's the day that God has blessed me to come into existence, to be a blessing to the world. Amen. I tell people, amen, I celebrate the day before, the day of, and the day after my birth. Amen. That's how I do it. I don't know about how nobody else do it, but that's just how I do it. But amen, I can work the day before. I can work the day after, but the day of, amen, will always be my day. You can put me on that schedule, but I will not show up to work. Amen. I let them know how bad you need me, but I ain't coming in. And if you do what you want, I can always get another job. Let's just be real. But we don't let nobody control us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's not being cocky. I'm very grateful. But amen. But there comes a time, amen, that they always want you to be in. Amen. Well, it works both ways.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, doctor. Amen. It's a blessing to be here, to be back on the air. Amen. And I thank the brother. Amen. I just got on just in time. Amen. I was working on a little project. Amen. But, you know, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me. Amen.
Amen.
And,
amen.
And to share with people today about death. Amen. Man has been dealing with death since Adam and Eve fell in the garden.
Come on.
Amen. And death was made, amen, to take man's, amen, to end man's life, amen, in this life, amen, because of sin, death has entered into the world.
Come on, preacher.
And, amen. We've been dealing with murder. Amen. Remember the first murder? We've been dealing with sickness. Amen.
You
We've been dealing with wars.
Wars.
Amen. And all these things since the beginning of time has taken man. Plagues have taken man. Accidental death has taken man from this planet. Amen. People planning to kill people has taken man from this planet. Amen. And it's
amen,
a fate
bro.
Because of what Adam and Eve did. Amen. We can't escape it. The only way
Come
to
on.
Escape. Come on, doctor.
Come
the
on.
Only
Come
way
on.
That we're going to escape death is through salvation in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've been preaching it for many years, and I want to continue to preach it. The brother's been preaching it for more than 40, longer than I've been alive. Amen. I'm 49. Amen. He's been preaching longer than I've been alive. Amen. I've been preaching for more than 21 years now. Amen. And
okay.
Amen. We are going to continue as long as God blesses to be on this earth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Focus on saving men's souls. Not focus on too much in here. That's right. We want your soul to be saved. The devil wants your soul so he can take you down to hell in the lake of fire. But we are taking, amen. He wants your soul. But we don't want
soul.
That for nobody. Amen. I talk to my family. Amen. My friends. Amen. My loved ones. And I talk to them about salvation. Amen. Because salvation is important. Salvation is key. Amen. We don't want nobody to be lost.
Nobody.
We don't want, amen. We don't want nobody to be lost. But we know that people are going to choose the way of evil. And that's the path that they want to go down. But we are praying for your soul each and every day. We are praying, amen, that you receive salvation. Amen. So we're going to go ahead. Amen. We're going to go ahead and take a look. Amen, doctor. We're going to go ahead and take a look at some scriptures today. Amen. Like I said, the Bible and the Word has been dealing with me on this thing about death. Amen. For we know that when you are born again, that you will not see the spirit of death. That is such a blessing. Amen. Amen, doctor. I don't know how death looked. I don't want to know how he looked. I don't know how he smelled. I don't want to know how he smelled. I don't want to even see death. Amen. Now, will you see natural death? Amen. You will possibly see natural death. Amen. The Word said it is appointed once for man to die.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
so if you lay down in your bed tonight and you in the and God bless you to die peacefully, amen. Amen. Because we know it's a such thing as a peaceful death. Most saints die, not all, but most die a peaceful death. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Amen. So God bless you, amen, to lay down in your bed tonight. You don't wake it up the next day. your body will experience physical death, but the angels from heaven will be there, amen, to carry your soul. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Thank you, Yahweh. Amen. The Heavenly Father will bless the angels to be there at your bedside. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
That is a blessed thought. Amen. For the angels to be at your bedside when you leave this earth, the saints will die. Amen. And
amen.
The angels are there to get you. Amen. Now, those that don't believe in God, they didn't believe in Christ while he was on earth. They didn't praise him. They didn't sing praises to his name. They didn't confess with their mouth and believe in their heart. They didn't walk in the spirit with him. Amen. They didn't hold Christ's hand, Yahshua's hand, Jesus' hand. They didn't hold his hand while they was on earth. Amen. I hold his hand every day. Amen.
Every day.
And he holds my hand. His Holy Spirit leads me and guides me and protects me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I thank him for his grace and his mercy. Amen. But if you don't have nobody intercessing for you, praying for you, Lord have mercy. Amen. The devil, amen. He can get you out of here. Amen.
Yeah.
But when you walk with God, the Holy Spirit tells the devil and death, you better get back. Amen. Ain't
till
the Most High. Amen, doctor. Amen. It's not until God say he's ready for the saints to come home. Amen. Amen.
Yes,
and so we know that if you don't have God on your side when you leave this earth, amen, we know that death will visit you, my God. At the time of your death, your last hour, your last minutes, last seconds, down to the last seconds of your life, death will visit you. And the Bible said that death, amen, will carry you to Hades. He will carry your soul to hell. Amen. We know that hell is full of what? Torment.
Yes, sir.
That's
torment.
Right. That's the Bible. Amen. I know a lot of people don't like to hear these type of mess, but the day and time we're living in, the way that people are dying, the way souls are leaving this world, and the way men
yes,
are living, men don't care. They're out here shooting people, killing people. Man, they're doing everything evil up under the sun. The Bible says, so as it was in the time of the day of Noah,
come on,
so shall it be in the time of the Son of Man, the return of the Son of Man. That's Christ. So look at all the things that's going on. And we think about all the evils since Satan deceived Adam and Eve, all the evils that have happened, all the way from murder,
yes,
all the way to sex trafficking, amen, drugs and drinking, partying, all these evil things, amen. And we see now that the tribulation is getting ready to start. So can you imagine for 6,000 years, everything that has happened that was evil since the Garden of Eden all the way to now is going to be crammed into a 7-year period. And what
come
am
on,
I preacher. Saying? Because I'm trying to give you an understanding of what the tribulation is going to be like. It's going to be too much to handle. See, we've had all this thing. All this has been spread over 6,000 years. You can't imagine what 6,000 years looks like, Lord have mercy, in
Lord,
7 years. My God. Look at all
my
the
God.
Great events. Look at Moses when God sent judgment on Israel, the 10 plagues. Amen. Look
yeah.
at Noah. And the giants, then the time that they had on the earth. And not only the giants, if you read the book of Enoch, it said monsters. It actually said, man, when I read it, I'm like, wait a minute. You said there were so this thought, these movies that they show you with all these creatures that we don't see and walking around on earth now, these things, see, that's what they have to get. I always said, brother, I said, where did these folks get these ugly things from? Somebody, I know these folks ain't thinking of this stuff in their mind. I can't even think of some of this ugly stuff in my mind. Somebody had to give them this knowledge and show them what these things look like. Because there ain't no way in the world that these aliens, that these creatures that they show in these movies, that man is just thinking of that mess in their mind. You can only picture so much outside of your mind and what you see every day, but to picture something that we don't normally see, where did they get that from? I'm here to tell you, this is where they got it from. The demons and the fallen angels have showed them how these monsters and creatures look that roam the earth. And yes, I did. You can sit and think I'm crazy if you want to. I dare you to do more study and research, and you'll find out a whole lot more than that is going on than what you think. Amen. So
thank
you,
sir.
You know, amen. If you think you know, you better do some more study and research. I did say monsters. And just because your pastor, that's the problem. Just because your pastor don't talk about it, your church, amen, don't mean it ain't real. There's a whole lot of things that pastors don't talk about in your everyday church, amen, because they're afraid because of what other people think. Amen. But we are not afraid to tell you what's going on behind the scenes. We're not afraid to tell you, amen, what thus said the Lord. These things are real. And God told John to tell the church, the head of the church, to warn the people about Revelation, the great tribulation coming on the earth. Ever since Adam and Eve, we've had tribulation. Tribulation started in the garden. Hey, amen. Tribulation ain't just started today. It ain't just started 2,000 or 4,000 years ago. It ain't going to start at the great tribulation. That's why it's called the great tribulation. Tribulation started in the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God.
Come on, preacher.
The first thing that happened was they lost their light. Amen. You better hear what I'm saying to you. Yes, they lost their light. They had a glow about them just like the angels, amen, because they was made in the image of God. And God said, how did you know that you was naked? Because that glow was no longer on them. Amen.
Come on.
Then God said, cursed be the ground. Amen. And God had to kill an animal to cover their what? Nakedness. Lord, how little tribulation happened. Blood had to be shed. Come on, doctor. Blood had to be shed right there. And look at that. See, we make so light because they didn't make us callous. But think about that. Adam and Eve had never seen blood. Lord, have mercy. Come on, y'all. Hear me what I'm saying. They had never seen blood. They had never seen an animal. Can you imagine the horror that brought on them to be around animals and creatures that Adam had named, had loved, because God is love, and he is still loving out. They love these animals. But God had to kill and slay an animal just to clothe them. I'm quite sure that had to hurt Adam's heart. That hurts my heart just thinking about it. I got pets now, and I love my pets, and anytime one of them die, it hurts my heart.
Uh-huh.
Lord have mercy. They had never seen nothing like that. See, tribulation was just beginning. And then what happened? Cain slew Abel. See now Adam and Eve is experiencing what? Tribulation. Things that they'd never experienced in the garden.
Yes, sir.
Lord have mercy. Deceit.
Have mercy.
Lies. All these things. And they just begin to multiply. They begin to live day by day, month by month, year by year. The tribulation began to get even worse. More men began to come on the earth. And amen. What did Abel say? He said, since he had slew his brother, amen. We know that it said that sin had increased. The murders had increased. Amen. Let me see if I can find that scripture. I used to love to read this scripture a long time ago because that scripture spoke to. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Amen. Let's see.
Amen.
I know here Cain and Abel. Amen. Oh, here it is right here. It is Genesis, the fourth chapter.
Go ahead.
Amen. And I'm going to read verse 23. I'm going to start verse 23 and 24. I'm going to read to you what it says. It's Genesis, the fifth chapter, verse 23 and 24. It says, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have what? Slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and 7 phone. Murder had begun to spread on this planet.
Lord, have mercy.
Blood had begun to spill before God. There wasn't sewer in the garden before Adam and Eve had sinned. There was no blood being spilled. Man had begun to kill one another.
Come on.
And this is what grieved God, that he had created man, that he had made man in his image, and look at the things that man began to do. Amen. And I hate to be vivid, but amen, but raping ain't new. They was raping thousands of years ago during this time. They was child sex trafficking and taking advantage of children back during this time. They was murdering men and killing men back during this time of Adam and Eve. Lord have mercy. Y'all not hear what I'm saying. They was stealing. They was lying. They was cheating. They was doing everything. The Bible says there is what? Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new.
You ain't doing nothing new. You ain't done what you're doing. They've already been doing. They've been doing for thousands of years. Man, people think you just because you new to the planet, amen. And just because you new to doing certain things, you think you doing something. No, they was doing that thousands of years ago.
Come on, preacher.
Tribulation has been going on for 6,000 years.
Yeah.
See. You don't realize because the tribulation was what? Spread out. So let me explain to you what I'm saying. Just because there's war in your household don't mean that there's war in my household. Just because there's war in my household don't mean there's war in your household. Amen? So we're not always experiencing what? Troubled times. Because of God and the Holy Spirit, amen, God has blessed what? Peace on the earth. He ain't going to just let Satan and his demons run rampant just yet. God said, no, you just got 7 years to do what you want to do to all of mankind. But those who believe in me, those that have chosen my son, Jesus Christ, Yahshua, the son, amen, the one that shed his blood on the cross for me and you, God said, you can't touch those. Amen. So you can't touch God's kids. Amen. God ain't going to allow you just have your way. He said, now, those that have rejected me, those that have cursed me and scoffed at me and said they don't believe in God, they don't trust in no God. I remember a man telling me one time, man, that's you believing in hocus pocus? That's just smoke and mirrors. I said, Lord, listen to this man. I said, bro, I'm going to be praying for you because them words that you speaking, I pray that your soul gets saved before you leave this world. Because if you don't, you're going to regret them words. You're going to remember them words while you in hell.
Yeah.
Think you won't? Remember, right now, we are confined to this body. You're not in the spirit yet. See, the spirit has no confinement. Amen. Let God confine the spirit. Amen. Meaning that once you are released from this body that's limited, Once you go over to the spiritual realm, you're going to remember everything that you did.
Come on, preacher.
Lord, have mercy. Man. And you don't think that man remembers who killed him? Lord, have mercy. That's real. Read the book of Enoch.
Real.
They want vengeance. Amen. Abel wanted vengeance on Cain for what he did because Cain wrongfully killed him, murdered him. You don't think people are aware once you leave people, that's just it. No, it ain't just it. There's a life after this which is called the afterlife. And it is the eternal afterlife. Amen. Meaning that whether you choose God for all eternity or the devil, you're going to serve somewhere your master for all eternity. And I tell you now, I'd rather serve God like the angels in heaven. But I'm here to tell you today. Amen. The spirit speak. Amen. We never know, brother. I say it hour, but man, the spirit gets to moving. Amen. Sometimes I'll go overboard, but amen. But I
come
just want to say today, amen. Doctor, I got to let the spirit speak.
Amen.
Because the spirit say tribulation ain't just begin this year to 2022 or 2021 or 2020. See, just because you ain't never had no real trials and tribulation in your life, they ain't mean that they ain't been on this planet. See, they've been here since Adam and Eve disobeyed God.
Yes.
And everything that you could think of has happened this past 6,000 years.
Come on, preacher.
You can't imagine 6,000 years worth of hell. Now, I got to say it. You can't imagine 6,000 years worth of hell compacted and multiplied into 7 years.
Come on, man.
My heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to folks. You think it's a joke. But let me tell you something. The devil ain't playing. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's about to happen. Them demons ain't playing, and them fallen angels ain't playing. They know what's about to happen. They know they're about to be cast into the lake of fire. They know what it's like. Amen. They already didn't witness. See, they're on the spiritual side. They can see it. And you think they ain't like, man, we're going to have to deal with this for all eternity? This is our fate. This is our reward for what we're doing. For all, it ain't no escape. So what they gonna do? They have made a pact. Man, we want as many souls. How can we stop people from believing and listening to Christ and come to Christ? How can we stop them? That's what they ask. We need to slow this number down. How can we stop them? And we've been talking about this since we've been on the earth. This year, 2020, 2021, 2022. How? Distractions. Man is so distracted by the Super Bowl, by their favorite TV show. Entertainment. Let's just say it like that. Entertainment. We've been entertained so much.
So much.
That the devil say, you know what? The devil say, I can't persecute him. I can't kill him. Like we always say, we don't die. Believers, we don't die. We multiply. Because the devil say, man, if I kill them, it seems like more than they come join them. So we can't kill them. So Satan, all of the don't kill them. That won't do no good. That means you're going to get more people saved. So he said, you know what I'll do? We'll entertain the world.
Entertain them.
People, man, he said, man loves being entertained. Put on some movies. Put on some TV shows. Show them some aliens and some superheroes and some housewives and all. Take them to the game and let them enjoy some hot dog and pizza and beer and drink. Oh, man, make merry. Let's give them a club. Man, go out there and dance and shake it. Shake it down for him, girl. Get on the phone for him. Get almost naked for him.
Come on, preacher.
Man, look at here. The devil said, oh, I got him now. I got him now. They like to club and dress up. See, now, he said, I got their attention. I got them distracted. Give them some devices. Give them a computer, a tablet, a smartphone. I got them distracted. Because you want to know why? He said, if I kill them, they'll just multiply. I can't do that. I'm trying to get folks not to go to Christ, not to go to church. He said, if I give them some money, if I give them some money in their pocket, see, the world now, this is how we know that time is getting near. And I'm about to turn over to the brother. This is how we know time is getting near. Because everybody seems to be doing good job. Jobs throwing more money at people. The devil know that Christ is about to come back. He said, I got to do something to keep these folks happy. I got to do something. If they get sad, they get too dead, they'll go to asking questions. They'll go to look around and say, I need an answer. We don't need them. The only answer I need them to have is more money, more men, more women, more of the world. Let me give you the world. Let you
come
love
on, come
the world.
On.
You don't need God. You got the world. You got money. You got a new house. See, let me keep you happy.
Happy.
Man, look at here. And it's working. But we got to keep on this side right here preaching this gospel.
Preach the gospel.
Amen. Watchman on the wall. Elder Bazaar. Amen. Timothy, the overseer. Amen. We're here to shed light on the truth, to open up, because we don't want nobody to be lost. We want as many souls to come into the kingdom as we possibly can. Amen.
Come on.
Brother, I'm about to turn over to you. Amen. We're going to follow the Spirit. I may be on a little bit longer with you. Amen. Amen. We got to do what God said to the Lord. Amen. But, so I'm going to turn it over to you. Brother, go ahead. Amen. I'm enjoying this. I'm rolling. The Holy Spirit. We just want saved souls to come into the kingdom of heaven. Romans 10:9-10. Once saved, always saved. Because why?
Come on, preacher.
The blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ does not lose souls. He said that no man has the power to pluck you out of my hand. Not you, not your mama, not your daddy, not your pastor, not your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend. Nobody can pluck you out of Christ's hand. Christ is the king. Amen, doctor. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Turn on to you, brother. Go ahead.
Man, you on fire today. Man, happy birthday again. Amen. You on fire today.
All
amen.
Glory.
You talk about
all glory
you
to Yahweh. Amen. Thank you.
Started off on death. Ooh, man. Two kinds of death. Amen. Physical death, and then there is spiritual death. Amen. Physical death is not bad. Spiritual death. From God. That's spiritual death. In other words, if you in sin, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you are spiritually a dead man. You are walking dead. You are alive physically, but you are dead spiritually. Amen. And to be separated from God is most awesome, most devastating, most, terrifying thing that you ever can even confront, to be separated from God. Because if you're separated from God, then you've got to spend eternity by yourself and with the demons of hell, setting you on fire and celebrating your fall because you listen to Satan. And Satan is a sly, slick, conniving, low-down, dirty backbone, two-faced that I can name from here to I don't know when. He ain't no good, never was no good until he was thrown out of heavenly heavens. In other words, he wanted to be like God, look like God, talk like God, rule like God. And God says, you can't do it. You got to get out of here, period. I ain't compromising with you. Amen. And I know God, my Lord. God said, I believe he had a little talk with the devil. It's unscriptural, but I believe he said, now you don't do this, you're done. You are completely done. I can't do nothing with you. I've got to let you swing your pendulum of time of 6,000 years. Amen.
Come on,
I'm gonna give man an opportunity to choose who he wanna serve. That's one thing about God. He gives you a choice. That's beautiful. To choose who you wanna serve. God said, I want you to serve me. I want you to serve me. I want you to believe on me. I want you to trust in me.
Right.
I don't want you to trust in Lucifer. He's a low-down, dirty, fallen cherubim, and now he got the world in a terrible mess, a mess beyond a mess, a mess that only God can straighten out. And the only way God can straighten it out, he has to give man 6,000 years of making his choice. Choose you this day in whom you will serve.
Amen.
In the world today, man, if you give me Christ or if you give me the devil, and majority of the world said, give me Lucifer. You know why he wants Lucifer? See, man is born in sin, shaped in iniquity. When he was born, he was born a sinner. Although he was a baby, he had no baby has no acknowledgement of what sin is until he gets old enough. But he was born in sin and iniquity, and it's something that you were born in, amen, and you grow up born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It takes power to change your life and draw you out of that mess.
Amen.
My God. It's just like going to a garbage dump and try to find your dog, amen, and you know your dog is up there. Amen. You got to take time to put on gloves. You got to take time to have all your utensils to find that dirty dog. That dirty dog is smelly. It's rotten. It's got sores all over it. Good God Almighty. You don't know what a sinner is? A sinner is a person who's got sores all over them. They're rotten. A sinner is rotten. You hear what I said?
That's right.
I said a sinner is rotten. Why?
Come on.
Because Satan is rotten. Why? Because Satan says, uh-oh, I done lost my holiness. I done lost my power to be the choir director. I done lost my power to be the protector of God's throne. I've lost everything. Even I lost everything, and I don't have no power to redeem myself. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go down here and mess with you. I'm going to mess man up so bad that majority of the world is going to reject Jesus Christ. And the brother brought up you brought up something that turned my soul on fire. When you said that God took an animal, he took an animal and slayed an animal. And when Adam and Eve saw blood, it terrified them because you know why? The soul is in the blood.
Come on.
You're living from your blood system. If you didn't have no blood in your body, you would be a dead corpse. But the blood is in your body, and it circulates by the heartbeat, and it keeps you alive. If you get cut and you drain your blood out of your body, you will die. But your soul will leave that blood system and go to one place or another. And let me tell you, two places you can go. You only can go to heaven, or you can go to hell. Majority of the world say, give me hell. Man, I'll go to hell for anything. Why? Because he don't recognize, amen, that wages of sin is death. In other words, if you're sinner, you're separated from God. You're separated from God. You don't have you have God. You got some God in you, you know, because God gave you a conscience. He gave you a spirit, to distinguish right from wrong. But you don't have the regeneration spirit of Christ in you. Guess what? You're a dead man walking. And you talking about zombies. We got a whole lot of people that are walking zombies. Oh, they're having fun. They're having fun beyond fun. Man, but they're dead men. You see, God can't stand sin. God imputes sin. God can't stand one. He's the God of sin. And he wants to what? To eliminate it. The only way that he can eliminate it, two ways he can eliminate it. Destroy the wicked, get rid of all the wicked, or he can what? He can die for our sins. What choice did God take? What choice did he take? And there was nobody in heaven to counsel him. There was nobody in heaven to tell him how to do it, when to do it, and why. But see, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. What did it?
Amen.
Love did it. Nothing but love. I'm talking about God's love is not like man's love. God's love go beyond. And what God did, he came down here to a junkyard. And the world today is a junkyard. You got wrecked lives. You got people going crazy. You got people jumping off a building. You got people raping. You got people drug dealing. People turning homosexuals and lesbians and incest. You got people just going mad. You got church folks taking part of the world, calling themselves child of God. Let me tell you something. You can't live two lives. You can't live a holy life and a wicked life. Either you know Jesus Christ or you don't know Jesus Christ. But God gave us a way to escape, just like the brother said. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of a salvation? Yeah. So great of a salvation. And God Almighty said, Adam and Eve, I'm gonna dress you. But the only way that I can dress you, I got to kill an animal, a clean animal. Right. I got to take that animal's blood as a sacrifice to cover your sins and use the coat of skin to cover your nakedness, physical nakedness. But there's a lot of people that are spiritual nakedness. They're walking up and down the aisle naked. Oh, they got the clothes on, but they're naked. They're high. Why are they naked? They're naked because they don't have a righteous covering. And the only covering that can cover you and take away sin is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, no longer man can use animals for a sacrifice, because when Christ came, he came for one reason. He come to take the sins of the world. Woo! For every human being that's up on the planet, for the white man, the black man, the yellow man, and if it was any green man, if it was any other kind of color of the human being that God made, because he made everything. Woo!
That's right.
Everything was made by God. And so what he did, he became man, and that man that he became, he was a God man. He was 100% God, 100% man. He is God the Father. He's God the Son. He's God the Holy Ghost, the triune God of the Godhead, and he's all one. He did the office. He did the work all by himself. There's no such thing as God. Only one God. And Toby said, who did Jesus talk to when he was in the garden? He talked to himself. Man, what are you talking about? You ever talk to yourself? Yeah, you talk to yourself.
God, come on, doctor.
Because he's the eternal one. Woo! He was all by himself. And when he ever said anything before anything was created, he talked to himself. And he said, if you prepare me a body, he said, I'll go down and redeem the junkyard. I will take the junk that's down there that Satan done defiled. And the devil
that's
has defiled the whole wild world.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to do what? I'm going to shed my blood. Whose blood? God's blood. Woo! His blood is powerful. Awesome. God can take a low-down, dirty prostitute. He can take an old pimp.
Yeah.
He can take anything. He can take a wino. He can take a homosexual. He can take a lesbian. And what? Change their lives. Why? Because when Christ comes in, sin got to go. When the blood comes in, you got to go. But I know what I'm talking about. Woo!
Come on.
He did the same thing for me. And if he did it for me, woo!
Listen,
if you want to go to heaven, he's going to have to do it for you. You're going to have to want to be saved. You're going to have to know you're saved.
Right.
You're going to walk around here talking about, well, I go to church and I don't do this and I don't do that. All your works ain't going to meet a hill of beans when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You got to be born again. And that means one time, not again and again and again and again. Because the Bible says you once delivered into the sink of common salvation. And the common salvation is that man is a sinner. Jesus Christ was not a sinner. Jesus Christ was righteous. Jesus Christ was perfect. Jesus Christ was blameless. Jesus Christ was God Almighty. And he became a human being. By him becoming a human being, he was capable enough of taking your sins and my sins and becoming a sin offering. That through the sin offering of Jesus Christ and him only, that he paid the price, because somebody had to pay. Somebody had to pay, brother.
That's right.
Guess what? The cherubims couldn't pay. The seraphims couldn't pay. The watchers couldn't pay. Woo! The patriarchs couldn't pay. Job couldn't pay. Moses couldn't pay. Nobody. Revelation says they looked inside the earth. They looked on top side of the earth. They looked underneath the earth. They looked
That's
in every crack and corner of the universe. And John said, wait a minute, why are you crying? He said, I can't find nobody.
Come on, doctor.
To open the book and break the seven seals. He said, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. He said, wait a minute. I found one. Where did he come from? He's a lion that come out of the tribe of Judah and the root of David, brighter than the morning star. He's the one that talked in the burning bush. He's the one that told Joshua, I'll stop the world and the moon, everything. He's the one that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He's the one that caused the floods. He's the one that caused the world to turn around and around for 6,000 years and keep man on the earth. And he's the one that gives the rank. What you talking about? He's the great God of Zion. He's the one that men depended upon him for a long time ago. And they tell me Abraham depended upon him and say Jacob depended upon him. But all those men were not doing what this man done. What did this man do? This man that I'm talking about, he was a man. He wasn't a man until he became a man. And the only way he could become a man, he had to get a virgin. And that virgin was named Mary. And he said, I'm going to overshadow you, Mary. And what did he say he going to do? He said, I'm going to plant myself. I'm going to plant the whole Godhead. Woo! The great God is going to implant himself into Mary's womb and stay there for 9 months. God Almighty. And when he stayed there for 9 minutes, they say, a child is born, a son is given, and you shall call his name the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And guess what? His government is going to be on his shoulders. And let me tell you, God is building a government right now. And where is the government starting at? It's starting at the church. Good God Almighty. I belong to a government. I belong up to a theocracy government. A theocracy government is a government that God will rule, because Satan has been ruling the world for 6,000 years and his time is running out. Why don't you quit playing around? Why don't you quit letting the devil use you and misuse and abuse you? Why don't you come on to Jesus Christ? Because that's the only way you can come to glory. That's the only way you can get into heaven. You can't get in by your mama, your daddy, your sister, your cat, your dog. You can't get in by your education. You can't get in by your money. You can't get in by your status quo. You can't get in by nobody but other than the name of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And the world is saying, wait a minute. You mean to tell me there's only one way to heaven? Yes, it is. Only one way. Good God
Come
Almighty.
On.
And if you don't want to believe it, get on a train. Get on a train and go from Chicago to California. Amen. And that tell me that train stays on one track. It may twist tracks, but it stays on one track. And he cannot get off the track. You got to stay on the track. And the only track that I know, that's the divine railroad. And that divine railroad is the cross. The cross is the track that you got to stay on. But you got to get on it first. And the only way that you can get on it, Apostle Paul said, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, you can get on the track. You can be born again, washed in the blood, and you can tell the world, Jesus is the railroad track to heaven.
Amen.
And there's only one track you can go on, and that track is number 777. Yes, it is. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm on that track right now, and I've been on it for a long, 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 long time. And my mind is made up and my heart is fixed that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Why don't you come on talk with me, man? Come on, drunkard. Why don't you switch bottles instead of drinking Four Roses and drinking Jack Daniel? Come on and drink Everlasting Life. Jesus Christ said,
Amen.
I am. I am the bread. I am the one that came out of nowhere. How could you come out of nowhere? I came out of nowhere because I'm everywhere. And there was nowhere for me to come because I'm everywhere. And since I'm everywhere, I can't go nowhere where I've already been because I'm everywhere. God Almighty, he's the God of the ages. He's the God of time. He's the God of eternity. And the world is saying, man, I can't comprehend that. But it's not for you to comprehend. It's what you got to do. You got to believe that we are actually in the last days. We are living in the time just before the 7-year tribulation began. We're living in the last, year. Now, this is me talking. We're living in the last year. My heart with my mind. This is the last year I'll be here on this earth. Man, don't be talking like that. A couple more things to do. I don't care what you got to do. I don't care if you got to build your house, if you got to get married or whatever. Whatever you got to do, you better get saved before you get married. You better get saved before you build your house. You better get saved because let me tell you, Jesus Christ. Year. This is the year. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people say, well, that ain't nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. All this war is getting ready to be started up. It's already started. It's been starting for a long time. And that's the battle of Gog and Magog. That's the battle of Meshach and Tubal. That's the battle that's going on right now. And a lot of people say, well, let's try to talk them out of it. Well, you can't talk something out of something. That would come from the word of God, because the Bible said the brother Ezekiel back there in 606 BC said in the last days 2,600 years later, there's an army that's going to come from the northern parts of Moscow and Tobruska and come on down from the northern countries, and they're going to make an attack upon Israel, and it's at the working right now. My friends, let me tell you, all that you see on TV,
right,
and internet and YouTube, that's all Bible prophecy. That's all in
that's
the
it.
Bible. I knew that before they start prophesying, but before they even said anything about it. I was preaching this way back in 1965. I was saying that Russia
wow.
is going to make an attack upon Israel, and I'm living in 2022, and guess what? It's here. It's here. You don't have
wow.
to worry about reading no newspaper. Look in your word. Look in the Bible.
Amen.
The lay people, read your own Bible. Don't try to depend upon the preacher.
Come
the
on,
preacher
doctor.
Can die. The preacher can make mistakes. But when you read the Bible under the inspiration of God and get an understanding, you can't make a mistake, because God will reveal
right.
to you through the Holy Spirit that, look, man, it's later than you think it is. You better get your
Come
heart
on,
right,
doctor.
Deacon. You better get your heart right, sister singing in the choir. You better get your heart right, bishop. You better get your heart, the prosperity, the preachers. You better get your heart right, because let me tell you, it ain't about money. It ain't about fame. It ain't about glory. It ain't about your self-righteousness. It's about the salvation that Jesus Christ came all the way down through 42 generations, and nobody had to pull him down here. Nobody had to make him down here. But what doing down here was love, because he don't want to see nobody perish. God don't want to see nobody perish. And people today is denying like God is going to save everybody. But God wants to save everybody. Listen to me. God wants to save everybody. But everybody don't want to be saved. And if you don't want to be saved, God is not going to shove this precious gospel down your throat. He's
Amen.
Not going to make it. He's not going to push you. He said, whosoever will, let him come. But your friend said, man, you gonna get saved? Yeah, man, you believe in that. Don't let nobody stop you. Don't let nobody convince you that there's not a hell, because there's a hell and sure you born.
Come on, doctor.
There's a hell and sure you born. And I'm gonna go to the word, the rich man and Lazarus, the man looked up
Come
in
on.
Hell and told Lazarus to tell Abraham to send me some water. And this is not no Bible story. It's not something that Jesus made up. This is something that Jesus
on,
actually encountered. He encountered with a rich man and a poor man. And the poor man didn't have nobody but God on his side. And the rich man had all the riches, but he didn't have God on his side. And there's a lot of people who that's doing real well. Oh, they prospering.
Yeah.
Oh, they make money. Oh, man. They say, well, I don't need God now. What you, man,
Come on,
what you talking about? Man, I got my women. I got a couple wives. Man, I go anywhere I want to. I got a couple bars. I got a couple whorehouses. Man, I'm a bad joker, man. I don't need a so-called sanctified life. I don't need nobody to tell me how to live. I live the way I want to live. And if I die and go to hell, a lot of my friends going to be there. Well, guess imagine so. But if there, you're going to be the most sorriest lost soul, punishing for hell forever. Why? Because you rejected the holiness of God. And the holiness of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took his own life and let it be laid down for your rotten self. Woo! Thank God for Jesus. He can make you a brand new creature. I don't care how beautiful a woman you are. I don't care how handsome you are. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care if you take baths every day. I don't care if you put perfume on every day. You can brush your teeth every hour. You can comb your hair and make it look good all you want. You can put Clorox and Lysol in your bathtub and clean yourself. But you still dirty. You still filthy. You still low down. You still in unbelief. You can sing in the choir, Jesus loves me, and do all that. But if you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you still dirty. You're a hypocrite. Because a hypocrite says, I'm saved, but live like the devil. You cuss, you lie, you fornicate, you do all that gambling, you do all that stuff that you like to do. You go to basketball game and you go crazy, but you come to church, you look like you come from Sad Sack Beach. You don't have no joy. You don't have no peace. You can't shout. You don't have no testimony. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You're not looking for this second coming of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't want him to come now because I got some living to do. Well, you ain't got no living to do because God. If you woke up this morning in your right mind, able to have the activities you'll live, let me tell you something. Don't die. Don't die without Jesus Christ. That's and the right. Brother brought up a hot subject, and that's why I let him start off. He brought up her. Don't die a dead man. Because if you die a dead man, you won't be separated from God forever. Now listen to this. Even that, if that was a hell, but there was only a place where you just be shut up for eternity. That's bad enough.
Cut off
the glories of God and the love of God and the mercies of God. And the goodness of God and the long suffering that God has given you opportunity to get saved. But see, God prepared the hell for the devil and his angels. And when he did that, he didn't prepare for man. He didn't prepare for Adam and Eve. He didn't prepare for the Hebrew boys. He didn't prepare for the righteous. He prepared for the devil and his angels, and those that reject Jesus Christ will have to spend eternity with the devil. And there is a devil. There's only 35 names in the Bible to describe the devil. 35 names. But in the word of God, there's over 365 names that you can name Christ. The living water, the bread of life. He's my mama. He's my daddy. He's my sister. He's the Elohim. He's Yahshuah. Oh, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Salom. He's all those names. He's my bread. Oh, my God. He's my food. He's my life. In him, I move and have my being. I can't move without God. I can't say nothing without God. Why? Because he is the inner and outer source of the universe. He can penetrate any hardened sinner that think they know more than God and think that God is a man walking around with a brown paper bag begging. He ain't begging for nothing. He don't need nothing. Right. He's everything for himself. Woo! And he'll pity for me. I need everything he got. And most of all, I need his love. Why you think I'm on this? Why you think, brother, Brother Timothy Jackson is on this program? I don't want your money. I don't want your fame. I don't want nothing from you but what I do want to see. I want to see you. You talk about shouting. I tell you, I'll shout from the end of glory because the angels in heaven will shout over one sinner that repents and turns from their wicked ways and humble themselves believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God will save you if you repent and humble yourself. But if you think you something, you think you missed a big stuff and you think you walk around here, whether you a woman or a man or a young teenager, if you're a teenager and you think you ain't going to get old, you think you ain't going to have no problems in your life, you better talk. You ain't going to go to DJ. You ain't going to go to Dre. You ain't going to I can't think of all these names that these guys got, my weird names. You know, they got chained around and they rapping and they tapping and they popping and they jumping and yakking the women getting in the stage. You know, on the football game, I'm going to turn it over to the brother after a while. But on the football game, that's entertainment. That's what the world loves.
Come on,
they love that entertainment. They love to see the women get up there and shake their boobs and shake their behind and open their legs up. That turns them on. And that's what the world wants. That's what the devil got. And after it's all over, after they get through with the music, they go home and man, they done pulled in $1 million. And the Bible says, let me tell you, if you love the world, you're going to perish with the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you because God don't love the world. He don't love the Son. He loves the people. And he wants to draw men, boys, and girls from the damn faith that comes up on the world. And like the brother said, 1,000 years of hell on earth, but the last 7 years, which are the last 7 years, known as the 70th week, spoken by Daniel the prophet, is getting ready to hit this planet. World War III is in the making right now, and it's going to come to pass.
That's
when
right.
It comes
Amen.
To pass, it's going to affect every continent on this planet, and especially America, because America don't think nothing's going to happen to her, but America has to pay for her wickedness. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Church folks going to have
Amen.
To pay for their wickedness. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Come on now. Ain't nobody can escape. You know what judgment starts at?
Come on,
judgment
doctor.
Starts at the house of God. Judgment starts at behind the pulpit. Judgment starts in the choir. Judgment starts in the church itself. It starts right there. God is judging the church right now. And there's people, there's Christians, there's so-called Christians, then there's true Christians, amen, falling by the wayside. God is taking them out of here. You know why? They ain't doing right. The preachers
Come
ain't
on,
doing God. Right. They ain't telling nobody nothing. Sitting up there like they got all the answers. They ain't got no answer. God got the answer. And the answer
That's right.
is Jesus Christ. You're preaching on everything else but salvation. You preach on how many cars you got. You preach on how many houses you got. You preaching, telling me how to get money, send you money so you can get money. That's a lie. Amen. I don't need your money. Amen. What I need for you to do, to those that's listening, I need for you right now, wherever you are listening, you need to fall on your knees and repent of your
Amen.
Sins. That comes from me.
Come on.
Not for salvation, but Lord, if I said anything, did anything, I repent.
Amen.
Amen. But if I haven't said nothing wrong, amen, I have no need to repent. And I know if I'm coming from the word of God, I'm telling you the truth. This is a now time. I ain't got time. Amen. I've been hollering, and the brother's been hollering for 22 years. I've been screaming. Oh, my God, I've been crying. I've been depressed. I said, Lord, nobody don't want to come to you, Lord. Why should I keep on preaching? I don't want to be like Jeremiah. Jeremiah for 55 years. Nobody ever repented. And that's why the Israelites went into Babylonian captivity. And old Jeremiah said, man, I'm quitting. I'm a leader. I think that's all. These folks stoning me, and they lying on me, and they claiming I'm a false prophet. I'm quitting. Good God Almighty, why did you say that? And old Jeremiah said, I'm going to quit. I don't know if it was 1 month, one day, a couple months. He said, wait a minute. Something's wrong. He said, whatever's in me is like fire. Like fire. Shut up in my bones. He said,
Amen.
I can't hold my feet. I got to tell the world. I got to tell Israel. The Messiah coming. I got to tell him about the rainbow of children being weeping because the Herod had killed all the babies and he was trying to kill Jesus. He said, I got to
yes.
tell him he's coming. I can't hold my peace. He said, I got
Come
to
on.
Tell him about Jacob's trouble. That's coming in the last part of the tribulation. I got to tell them, get ready. And Brother Bazaar and Brother Timothy is crying out. My soul is crying out for whoever
Amen.
Listening. I'm crying out right now. And I wish I could see the one that I'm talking to. But since I can't see you, I got to act like I see you. Good God Almighty, don't be a fool. Church going is good. Don't be a fool. Church going is good. If you got a good preacher just preaching the whole Bible and ain't letting up, stay there. If he ain't preaching it, if he preaching some old side sermon that he done had for 50 or 40 years, and I'm coming right straight out of the word of God, man, you better get up out of there. You better go home and get on your knees and say, Lord, lead me. Guide me. Oh, thy great Jehovah. Because let me tell you something now. It's dangerous to go to a
That's
false
right.
church. It's dangerous to go to a false
Come
church
on,
where the preacher is not standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling the world he's getting ready to come back. And when he come back, he's coming back in the rapture. That's the first phase. That's the first phase that's going to happen pretty soon. And by the grace of God and the love of God, how I love God so much, I believe he's coming 2022. I believe he's coming in the
Amen.
Fall. When the harvest time comes, because the church age is almost over. Ain't
Come
nothing
on,
else the church can do. The only thing the church can do, I'm going to give it to the brother, because this is dynamite. The only thing that the church can do now is for every preacher in the congregation that's got a congregation, and the congregation. Fast and pray, get on their knees, go to the house and say, Lord, we have sinned against you. We have not upheld the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're living loose. We're talking loose. We got more important things to do than come and praise your name. We ain't raising our families right. Husband, need to get on their knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I've lusted. I did adultery on my wife. Lord, help me.
Amen. Come on, doctor.
Come on now.
Come on.
And then you can have somebody come in and be one to Christ, because there ain't no worldly person going to come into the house of God and see all the stuff that they're doing, what the world is doing, and get saved.
That's right.
The only way that a person gets saved is they see a difference in your life. If they don't see a difference in their life, they don't want to be bothered with you. Good God, y'all got to help me. You got to help me and Brother Tim. That's what we're trying to do, win souls for Christ. And as
That's
we
right.
get ready to close, I'm going to give it to the brother because I know he's on fire now. Amen. He's flaming. It's fire coming out of his ears. Amen. I know he got a whole lot to say now. Amen. Praise God. So I want to turn it over to the brother. Go ahead. Walk with it, brother.
Amen, brother. Amen. All glory be to the Most High, brother. Amen. You said it. Amen. Love. Amen. This whole thing we've been talking about. Amen. The brother touched on the rich man and the poor man. Amen. That is not a fairy tale. Amen. It makes no sense. Amen. Somebody told me, Christ was just using that. No. Christ's not going to just use something like that to just make it sin. Basically, that would make him a lie. Why would he just tell us a story that it ain't true? No. He gave us an example of something that was real, of a real experience. Amen. That's what Christ did in Luke, the 16th chapter, with the rich man and the poor man.
Yes,
and the rich man, amen, going to hell, and the poor man going to Abraham's bosom, which was paradise. Amen. That is a real story. Amen. We are dealing with the love of God. Amen. The only way that you're going to escape, as the brother said, Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3. Amen. How can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Amen. Amen. Let me just go ahead and read it. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You say escape. Escape what? The second death. Escape hell. Escape the lake of fire. The second death. How can you escape? How can you escape the great tribulation? Amen. If you don't accept Christ, let me tell you the thing that you will see at this day and time. If the sky was a crack open this moment and you were not saved, you hadn't confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, you will, number one, go through the great tribulation. Amen. I'm not going to say that you're going to be able to make it all 7 years, because it's going to be tough just to make it through the first year. Amen. Number two, if you still don't get saved in the tribulation, you will go to hell. Amen. You know how folks like to tell each other where to go? Amen. There's no doubt. You will find yourself in hell. Amen. As Christ said about the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Amen. That is a real thing. Amen. Your spiritual conscience will be able to lift up. Amen. And know where you at. Because why? You think people don't know what hell is? People can joke all they want. You know about hell because we didn't told you about hell. The preachers have been talking about it. We've been preaching it and teaching it for years. My dad used to preach it and teach it for years. Elder Bazaar been teaching and preaching it for years. I've been teaching it now for a little over 20 years. Amen. You know what hell is. Amen. Amen. Guess what? Amen. Most people think that the lake of fire and hell is some synonymous. It is not, but it will be in the end. Amen. Because hell will be cast into the lake of fire. But man, let me tell you, when Enoch described the lake of fire but hell, he told the angel, you can take me away from here. I don't want to see this. The angel told him, this is where the souls that have rejected God will spend all eternity in darkness and in torment. Enoch told him, I am grieved. He said, he's sorrow. He said, take me away from this. I can't fathom the thought that man is going to actually come here. And now this is Enoch. He just saw it. He just Come on. Witnessed. And he felt, take me from. Can you imagine the souls that's got to be cast into that? It's going to be too late. You can play all
too
you
late.
Want to. You can laugh too and
late.
Party all you want to. You can scoff and mock God all you want to. It ain't going to be nothing nice. Amen. Again,
too
how
late.
Shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Amen. We don't want
Amen.
Soul to be, now their soul that are being lost, just lost today, yesterday, and going back. But you still
Ooh.
Have an opportunity, if you're listening to this message, you have the opportunity to receive salvation today. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So amen. I just have to bring that up. But I want to talk about salvation a little bit before I go. Amen. I got about five
go
more minutes. Amen. I got to get ready to go. Amen. But I want to talk about salvation because so many people take salvation lightly. Amen. And so many people in the church, amen, in particular leaders, they want to control salvation. Salvation is not yours to control. Salvation is God. Come on, doctor. Salvation is, number one, it's a free gift. Whenever have you had to work for something that's free and that's a gift?
Come on.
Never in your life, amen, because if you had to work for it, if it was free, then you have to end up working for it. Then it wasn't free, number one. Number two, it wasn't a gift. Because anything that I bless and give my kids, amen, regardless of what they do or my wife or how they do, number one, it's free from me in my heart because I love you. Number, it's a gift, meaning that you ain't got to do nothing for it. It's because I love you. And God gave salvation to man, number one, because, brother, man, they're going to make me go off. Let me go over to the scripture. I'm so tired of people trying to throw up works and everything up in salvation. And the Bible ain't said nothing about works when it comes to salvation. Some people like throw that, oh, faith without works is dead. Well, no, that's not what it says. So you trying to include that in salvation. That's not what it's saying. It said with your faith, amen, you should have some works. Amen. Meaning that you, if you are saved, amen, it should show through your words. So don't get the Bible confused, the Bible twisted. People are misinterpreting the scripture. Amen. Let me go over here to
go
let
ahead,
me show
go
you
ahead.
Over here real quick. Amen. But let me go over here real quick.
Go Sanctus, ahead, help yourself.
The third chapter. Amen. As my mentor taught me, I had two mentors in ministry that really rooted and grounded me in the ministry. Amen. One of them said, St. John, the third chapter, verse 15, was his favorite verse. The other pastor, amen, that mentored me said, St. John, the third chapter, verse 16, was his favorite verse. So I just took, brother, I just took both of them and said, you know what? Well, both of them are my favorite verse. Amen. Because I love these men that have groomed me in the ministry. It says, St. John, the third chapter, verse 15 and 16, said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Amen. Everlasting, bro. That's right. Eternal life. God has not put a condition on salvation, which is what? Salvation is deliverance from sin and deliverance from the second death. God did not put a condition on it that you could lose your salvation. That was not
come
the
on,
terms
come
of the
on.
Conditions. Come on now. Don't make me go to preaching on Christ's contract. This is the
come
blood
on,
contract
on.
That Christ said for the soul that believed in him and the soul that he went to the cross for. This is the contract as it is stated. For God so loved the world, come on now, that
yes.
he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Everlasting.
And all that other hellish doctrine that folks is coming with,
come
that
on.
You can lose your salvation, you can keep that because the Bible doesn't say that nowhere in the scripture. That's a lie from the pits of hell, and Satan is pushing that through the churches to make people fearful of God, fearful to come to the cross. That is not the case. God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I don't go
come
to
on, preacher.
I don't walk up and down the world wondering if I'm going to go into heaven or if I can lose my salvation. The devil's a lie. Christ died on the cross. How many times can man be born from a woman's womb? One time.
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't never seen a man come out of his mother's womb twice. So how many times do you have to be born again of Christ? One time. That was the whole purpose of the meeting of between Nicodemus and Christ. He said, what must a man do to be saved? Amen. And God and Christ gave him the description. Amen. He said, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? and he can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Uh-huh.
Man, this was the whole one of the main purposes of the meeting is for him to get an understanding of what salvation was from Christ, and Christ gave it to him himself and explained to him what salvation was.
Yeah.
And if you go down to verses 13 and 14, and you also refer back over to I think it's the book of Numbers, I think it is. If you Numbers the 21st chapter, verse 9, if you read St. John the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14, Christ gave a vivid description of salvation in St. John the 3rd chapter. He lets you know, number one, amen, that salvation was for all eternity. In other words, once saved, always saved. Amen.
Always.
Number two, he also let Nicodemus know salvation is so easy because you want to know why? Christ knew he was going to the cross to shed his blood for man because basically what Christ said, I got your works. I'm doing the hard part. All you got to do is believe. And if you ever notice Christ, when he dealt with anybody, he always asked them, but what? But do you believe? In other words, do you have faith in me? Because all I need you to do is just get saved like the man on the cross.
Come on.
To the right of him. When he died on the cross and the man right on the right of him, all he did was simply believe. Like the brother said, he didn't have time for works. Amen. Because if it was counted, if works was included in salvation, that means that man on the right of Christ would have never seen salvation. He said, this day you shall be in paradise with me. So what was his works? What did he have time for? If his whole life he was a thief, if you want to whip out the balance and scale in the grade book, then that man on the right would have failed. But Christ said, I got you because you want to know why? I'm paying for your sins right now on the cross. And all I need you to do is just have faith and believe in me. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. I'm so sick and tired of these folks that are pushing this live doctrine that you can lose your salvation. It ain't no such thing. It ain't no such scripture in the Bible that support that teaching. Once you are saved, you are always saved through the blood of Christ. That's the reason why Christ went to the cross and died for your sins. I'm going to read one more scripture. Amen, brother. I'm going to get on out of here. Amen. I got so much loaded up here. Amen. But I only got enough time for go to 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter.
Fifth chapter.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to read. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 4. I wasn't going to read verse 1, but this is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4. This is what it says. It says, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a what? A building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What this means is that, amen, you get saved here on earth. You don't get saved after you die. You're saved now. So once you're saved on this earth and in this life, you are sealed for all eternity for your eternal home, your eternal, your new body in the heavens. And so the work is already done here. The result is that you're going to get a new body when Christ comes, when those trumpets sound. You possibly what? Incorruptible because of what we did now. Amen. Now watch what it says in verse 2. For in this we groan. To be clothed upon with our house, which is heaven. Amen. Brother, I'm waiting for Christ to bring me my rewards. The first reward you're going to get is you're going to get a new body. You're going to receive immortality at the sound of those trumpets. You're going to get a brand new body for all eternity because of what you believe now. Not later, not after, because it's too late once you die or after the trumpet sound. You need to believe now. You're going to get a new heavenly home. You're going to get rewards in heaven. Now watch this. Verse 3 said, this is what Paul said. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found, amen, naked. Watch what verse 4 said. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being clothed. Not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, the mortality might be swallowed up of life. Amen. So we not ready to leave just to leave for no reason. No, we ready to leave because we know that what's coming next. So we ain't so in love with this world that, oh, we grown and we just ready for. No. We know what's coming next. I'm going to get a brand new body. I'm going to receive immortality. Then I'm going to receive my rewards for all the work. Because Christ said, only what you do for Christ. He said, only what you do shall last. See, that's what I'm waiting for. See, that's why I desire for the trumpets to sound and for Christ to come back. Because I know that what I got coming is far more greater than what I have and what I can even imagine.
Thank you, Jesus.
God have mercy. Yes, sir.
Have mercy.
God bless you. Brother, I love you. I'm going to be back on the air with you Wednesday night. Amen. We're going to be back to do this thing. We just pray that more souls be saved. Amen. We pray that we work on a way to reach out to outreach to more people, to more souls. Brother, I love you. I enjoy the word. Amen. And
amen.
I will be in touch with you. Amen, doctor. Amen.
Right.
I'm going to be listening, brother. God bless you.
All right.
Remember, family, you are all royalty. Amen. Elder Bazaar is royalty. I am royalty. And you all have a blessed and wonderful day, and I thank God for 49 years on this earth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Until he calls me home, I'm going to continue to serve him and do his will. Amen. Good night, and
amen.
God bless you all. Love you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jackson. Thank you, Brother Tim, Overseer. We thank you for the word of God, and you on fire for the Lord, and that's what we need. We need to get the word out much as we can, as often as we can, and accurate as we can. And we are definitely living in that time where men are dying every day, every minute, every second. Some are dying violent, some are dying just in the bedroom, some are falling down the steps, some young girl done been raped. It's continually, day after day, year after year, month after month. News media is filled with violence and carnal sin and disbelief, and there is a God in heaven, amen, that really loves his creation and loves his humanity. He wants to save. He wants to save. Every time somebody die without Christ, I know God has no pleasure in it. Oh, no, he don't have no pleasure. When a person dies without Christ, the Bible says God has no pleasure in death. Death, what you mean? Spiritual death. Amen. It's appointed once for man to die, and after death will be the judgment. But if you die without Christ, you're going to have to face the spiritual death. And the spiritual death means separation from God. Now think about that. Separation from God Almighty forever. Those that die in sin and degradation, they will never, never, never see God. The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For those that have a pure heart will see God. The only way you can see God is through his Son. Except you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Emancipator, as your Redeemer. If you die without Christ, you will never see God, never see the Creator, never see the Eternal One, never see the Lamb of God. The only time you probably see him, amen, is at the great white throne, and you won't be able to look up on his face. The great white throne, what is the great white throne? The great white throne is found in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, where all the wicked dead, all those that died without Christ. Now listen, all those that died the physical death without Christ, that did not in their lifetime accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That means from the high, the low, the rich, the poor, the black, the white, all nationalities, those that die without Christ will be separated. My God. Separated from who? Your Creator. The one that made you. The one that died for you. The one that gave his life for you. And he did it so that you can have eternal life. And you go through life without accepting him, then you will have to pay for your own sins. And you never can pay for your own sins. So if you die in your sins, you will pay for your sins by eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. You will be punished in the lake of fire forever. Oh, you can't believe that, right? Well, if you don't believe it, and you fool around and what? You miss the offer. You miss the way to salvation, which is Jesus Christ. And you die, you will put your own self in hell. God is not going to put you in hell. You put your own self in hell. God made a way that you can escape hell. You rejected it. By you rejecting it, then you got to pay for your own sin. Own sin, wages of sin is death. Separation from God. But the gift of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is eternal life. Why don't you accept him now? Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Come on. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You've been going to church for a long time. You never had a renewal of an experience of being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New. Not half new, not three-fourths new. New creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, everything now is new. Jesus Christ will make you brand new, a brand new, refined, blood-washed soul. He will wash your soul with his blood and get rid of all the sin in your soul and spirit. You become spotless. Your soul becomes spotless. You won't have nothing that God can condemn you with. Your soul will not be condemned into hell. But you know you got another problem here. You got another problem with what? With that old natural flesh, that old carnal nature is always hanging around. And you will have it till you die. But the soul of man on the inside is renewed day by day. Every time you get up in the morning, if you know anything about renewal, God renews your soul every day. Why? Because he knows, amen, the blood will never leave you. The blood will never forsake you. If you accept Jesus, he will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He can get upset with you. He can take you to the woodshed and give you some whoopings. Amen. He can whip us like he whipped those Old Testament saints. He had to whip Jonah. He whipped David. He whipped Samson. He whipped a couple more other people. Why? Because they were disobedient. And by being disobedient, when you have chastisement of God upon you, then you are his son. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I can't do anything I want to do and think God is not going to whip me. Oh, yeah, he can whip me. Amen. So I got to stay in his will. I got to stay in his way. Amen. I want to get in God's way. Amen. I want to let the Lord say, I'm in your way, Lord. Make me, mold me, make me a better person than I am. Sanctify me more and more that I'll be ready when you come. Because let me tell you, sister, brother, uncles, and aunts, he is coming back. I mean, he is coming back. He's coming back so powerful. Amen. The world, the church world, the economy, the religious world, the heathenist world are going to be shocked. You talking about shock. Some people are going to go hysterical. Some people are going to lose their mind. Some are going to be wandering around, what is happening? Oh, they talked about the rapture of the church, and guess what? I'm left here. My mama's gone. My daddy is gone because there's going to be a separation of families. A lot of families are going to be separated. Some families ain't going to be separated. Some families ain't, none of them ain't saved in some family. And some families, one or two are saved. But let me tell you, if you're not saved, guess what? You are definitely going to be left here to face who? Face the Antichrist. Don't forget him now. I know Jesus Christ is coming. But before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, the Antichrist is coming first. When he comes, he's going to rule the world for what? 7 years. of havoc, 7 years of torment, 7 years of deception, 7 years of hell on earth with fire to back it up, because God's going to rain fire down during the tribulation period, comets, all kinds of forests going to burn, water going to turn to blood, men's going to be eating men, flesh, people going to be going to cannibalism, no food is going to be here, war is going to scatter the land, men are going to be trying to buy and sell, and they ain't going to be able to buy and sell because the Antichrist, in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to put down a law that no man, no woman, no girl, no boy will be able to buy or sell. You ain't going to be able to buy or sell in the middle of the tribulation when the Antichrist becomes the beast. And when he becomes the beast, the Antichrist is going to claim the deity of God Almighty, and he's going to demand, because he's going to have control of three offices, economy, political, and religious world. He's going to have full control to rule the world under a dictatorship-type government, and the world is going to say, uh-oh, this ain't coronavirus. This is not coronavirus. Man, what are we going to do now? Are you going to get the computer chip? Man, you know I got to get my computer chip. Man, I got too much to lose. Man, look what I got. I'm a billionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a trillionaire. I am a man that got everything I want. And then you got the poor people. They say, well, I ain't got nothing in the first place. And if I lose, if I get the number, I won't be able to buy nothing. So if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation, because the tribulation, you ain't going to be by yourself. God said, I took the church already. I done took my body, because my body ain't going through no more hell. The body of church, the body of Christ that went through 6,000 years of hell on earth, persecuted, burned, boiled, ripped apart, shredded like wheat, cooked, everything Christians have suffered under. And God said, that's enough. You have tormented my body. My body is the born-again believer who's sanctified, holding up my name. They're being persecuted. So now I'm going to remove them. I'm going to bring them home. I'm going home after a while. This place that I'm living right now is not my home. I'm just an old pilgrim traveling through. Yes, I've been around the mountain, underneath the mountain, on top of the mountain, but I still got to press on to my high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, because when Christ comes, he's going to take the church off the earth first. That's what he's going to do. So these guys going around here talking about we're going to go through the middle of the tribulation and we're going to get caught up in the last part, that's a lie. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. And I challenge anybody. I challenge Lucifer, the devil, the Beelzebub, the imps, and the watchers, and the Nephilim. I challenge them all. You are a lying wonder. The reason why you trying to tell people this, amen, because you know you can't go yourself. Hallelujah! The devil will be left here on this earth, and he will turn it into a holocaust. And the world will say, they've been talking about it for so long. They sound like a broken record. They sound like the wolf that was saying the sky was falling. And it never fell, but when he did say it fell, it fell. And now we've been talking about the rapture. I know I've been talking about it for over 57 years. Woo! And it ain't happened yet. But there's a day coming when it's going to happen. And they're going to say, you know that preacher. It was on the internet. Hey, man, I didn't hear but a few times, but he said that was going to happen. Don't you know that old Timothy Jackson talked about it? You know them boys talked about it, man. They didn't have a big audience, but, man, I heard a little bit of it. And since I heard it, you know something? They talking it. They talking the real deal. And this real deal comes from glory. And the real deal is Christ loved you so much that he gave his life up that you can escape the Antichrist, that you can escape the mark of the beast. But the next big deal that's coming on the scene, and is already on the scene, is the Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot come. Absolutely. He cannot show his face until the rapture, the catching away. There's about 5 to 7 raptures in the Bible. Enoch was raptured. Lot was raptured out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah was raptured with the flood. Elijah was raptured. Guess what? Jesus Christ was raptured. Guess what? The church is next in line. The last church age, known in Revelation as Laodicea. Majority of the church right now, majority is corrupt. There is a minority in the house of God body that living for him, looking for him, hoping for him, and desire to see him. I desire to see Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I do. My soul is hungry to see the nail-scarred hands. I'm hungry to see his bruised side. I'm hungry to see his feet that was nailed to a piece of timber for my sins. Otherwise, I would die and go to hell. But I accept him as Lord and Savior. And I want you to accept him. And the only thing I had to do, I confess him with my mouth. And I believe with my heart. And I repented of my sins. And guess what? I said, Lord, come on in. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm worn. Sin don't profit me nothing. Sin don't profit me but death, hell, and the grave. Save my soul now. And guess what? Been saved ever since I was 9 years old. Woo! And at 9 years old, you sinned at 9 years old, but I didn't do no great big sins. Amen. Until I got to the age of accountability. And then I knew, I died. Then I know I need the Savior. I need to be restored. Because when Christ saved you at 9, he keeps you saved. Ooh! And see, people think because when you get saved, you don't go through nothing. They think if you do something wrong, you're lost. Well, how many times we done something wrong since we've been saved? A lot of things. Not drastically. But Christ said, if you sin, confess your sin. His faith will just forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he can cleanse you from all unrighteousness through his blood by the Holy Spirit. Say amen. Some of the things that you used to do, amen, he can cut them off. The Bible said, lay aside every weight and every sin that's so easy to be set up, looking into Jesus. So we grow in the Christian faith. You can get saved overnight. But it takes time to grow in the grace of God to get the power, amen, to stand up for righteousness' sake. And some people are just scared. They're scared to stand up because they're going to lose their friends. But I ain't kidding. Hey, you ain't my friend until you say, you ain't my real friend until you know Jesus Christ. Then we can be good friends. Good friends. But you can't trust a sinner. And sometimes you can't trust a saint. But I thank God that he's the only one that you can really trust in and keep you. The Antichrist, he's here. How old is he? 52 years old. Where is he? I tell you, would you look it up? If I tell you, would you look up Spain? Look up Spain. Look up Madrid, Spain. And there you'll find a man called King Felipe. King Felipe. Who is he? He's a descendant of the throne of David as far as the Jews. Remember when the Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth? Well, they intermarriage with the Jewish race, and they come up with kings and priests and dukes. And so this Antichrist is not coming from China. He's not coming from Russia. He's not coming from the United States. He's not coming from Brazil. He's not coming from Mexico. He's not coming from Africa. He's coming from the Western European nations, which is known NATO. NATO, N-A-T-O, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. That is the 10 horns, the 10 toes, the 10 keys that Daniel spoke of. And he said, out of those 10 horns, there's another little horn. And he said, this horn is found to be amongst. Now, among the other 10 horns. Well, what are the 10 horns? The 10 horns is like England. I can't name them all. I got it on a piece of paper, but I can't name them all. Amen. Yes, I can. Wait a minute. Hold on. Amen. Praise God. I want to give you some Bible study here, amen, how serious this is, amen, what we're dealing with, amen. The 10 nations that came into existence in 1948, from 1948 to 1986, was Denmark, Britain, Ireland, Netherlands, the Belgians, Greece came, Italy came in 73, France came in 73, West Germany came in 73, and then Luxembourg came in 52, and Greece came in 81. That's the 10 nations of the great 10 nations that Daniel talked about. And Daniel talked about the 10 nations that will end up as NATO. NATO is in the news today. Listen to me. NATO is in the news today because NATO is against Russia for going down there messing with what? Ukraine. Ukraine cannot come a member of the Western NATO nation because Russia said they belong to him. So NATO is what? The 10-horned beast in Revelation that describes these nations that's going to join together, and the head of these 10 nations will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming from the country of Spain. Spain is among, listen to what Daniel said. I didn't say this. I didn't write this. I didn't think this up. I didn't maneuver and try to fix this to make it please me. This is what God wrote in the Bible through the book of Daniel. And the last that he spoke of is the 10 toes. Where are the 10 toes at? The 10 toes is on your feet, which represent last days. Last days. Last days, these 10 toes will be gathered together. And out of these 10 toes comes 10 horns. Because you don't have a 10 toes. So Daniel had to switch from toes to horns. When he switched to horns, it represent power. And this is one horn, which is Spain. Amen. Was one of the weakest nations in the Western Europe, but now it's the most powerful nation, and out of this nation will come the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a descendant of the Jewish monarchy. And now, since he is here, he is waiting, God Almighty, he is waiting for the proper time to come on the scene. He is peeking behind the door right now. And if he peeked behind the door right now, guess what's happening on the Eastern Front? The Eastern Front is Magog and Gog. Uh-oh, they're saying, we are going to take the Ukrainians. We want the Ukraine. In fact, we want all the satellite nations that we had in 1970 and 1980 and 90 until it broke down with Ronald Reagan, said broke down the Berlin Wall, said, no, you can't have these guys. No, we got it. And so now Putin said, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to hang around the border until I start a war, even though there don't have to be a war. He's starting it up already. He's throwing up false flags. He's shooting bullets. He already done shot an Iranian grade school to put a hole in it and said that what you call did it. So what he's doing, he's agitating. And Biden said, well, we're going to sanction you. Well, if he's going to sanction him now. Cut him off now. But what's going to happen when he makes that move, then Biden's going to cut it off. And guess what? It's going to tear America apart. Uh-oh. America is going to feel it. We think we're getting away. We think we can skim Biden. No, America is going to get it. She's going to get it because, number one, America will not repent. America won't bow down. I ain't talking about bow down before a flag. I ain't talking about bow down to no monument. I'm talking about bow down to the God of Israel, the God of the gods of all gods, the King of kings, the Prince of Peace. If America don't repent, we're going to suffer judgment. And guess what? It's already started in America. These storms, these tornadoes, and these earthquakes, and all the violence that's going on in the world, all the coronavirus and all of the diseases is not for a picnic. God is trying to warn us and heed to us, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and quit trying to be rich because you're not going to be rich. The only way that you can be rich is that you first search the kingdom of God first. And he said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, he said, and then I'll add everything that you need after that. But the world today is seeking the pleasures of life. And then at the last minute, they try to seek God. But let me tell you, God, if God is not first in your life, you in deep trouble. If God is not the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob, you in trouble. If God is not first in your everyday life and your everyday lifestyle, I wonder what kind of God you got. Because the Bible says, if you keep me, keep your mind on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. And the world today, we know that the people's mind is not on God Almighty. No, because there's no peace in the land. They're crying out peace. We want peace in the streets. We want peace in our homes. We want peace in the church, but you can't find it. And the reason why, because you rejected the Prince of Peace. You let him go. You denied him. You rejected him. You carrying on with all kind of other foolishness. You got time for everything else, but you ain't got time for the Almighty. But let me tell you something. If you don't have time for God now, there's a time coming. I'm telling you. There's a time coming when God said, I ain't got time for you. But you don't believe that. You think God is that last minute God that shoots down like a bolt of lightning and get you out of trouble. No, he ain't going to do that. If you get yourself in trouble, you're going to have to call on the Lord first, and then you're going to have to straighten yourself up to get out of it. And the world today is, thank God, if you go to jail or get killed or get some, oh, Lord, I'm going to straighten up now. God don't want you like that. He wants you to come to him because of your sins. And if you ain't come to God to him for your sins, you can't be saved. You got to admit to God Almighty through his son, Jesus, I am a sinner. I'm a lost, low-down, rotten sinner. I don't know you. I claim you with my lips, but my heart is far from me. Jesus Christ said, I know a group of people like that. They say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied, have not did miracles, have not we jumped over the candlestick, have we knew, look what we done. And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It ain't what you do, it's what you know. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will bust hell wide open. The devil is waiting for you. And the devil, most of all, he wants to kill. That's what he loves. He loves to kill. Because if he kill you without Christ in your life, he got you. He got you forever. Ain't no getting out. Ain't no coming back saying, Lord, give me another chance. No, no. Ain't no purgatory. It's hell or heaven. And as the brother said, hell and the lake of fire is two different locations. Hell is hot now. But the flames in hell, but there's not the lake of fire. Because the lake of fire is like water. It's hot, more than hot water. It's lava and brimstone. And you be swimming in it. Good God Almighty. You be swimming in bituminous. You be swimming in brimstone. You be swimming in hot lava that will never cool down. I don't know how many degrees. I don't know how many degrees hell can carry. But let me tell you something. Water boils at 212. 212 degrees, water will boil. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. I wouldn't tell nobody to do it. But if you want to see how much heat you can take your forefinger and just hold it in there for at least 3 minutes. I bet you have it sucked out before 30 seconds. Because water 212 boils. Now, lava, brimstone, and liquid fire is hot. Steel melts at 3,000 degrees, 2,000 degrees. Some metals melt different at different degrees. But hot brimstone, you will be swimming in it forever. Woo! The devil will be drinking brimstone. The demons will be hollering and screaming and yelling and cursing and blaspheming. And, oh, my God, you're talking about a nasty place. A nasty place is hell, where unregenerated people go and where the devil's headquarters will be hell. He'll own it. God's own it now. But pretty soon the devil's going to own it. This is what you brought forth. This is where you came from.
You came from anointed cherubim all the way from heaven to the lowest part of the earth. And now you got to pay for all that you have done for the last 6,000 years. And those that follow you, I guarantee there won't be no bands, there won't be no water, there won't be no golf, there won't be no football, there won't be no basketball, there won't be no ladies' friend, there won't be no whorehouses, there won't be no beer joints, there won't be nothing, nothing that you can even deal with or get any kind of pleasure out of. Because all the pleasure that you got it on top side of the earth. And you enjoyed it. And you enjoyed it so much, you cursed God and told him to take all that cross. Woo! Take that cross. Take that blood. Take that suffering that Jesus Christ did. And the man suffered. It wasn't no light suffering. He took sin. And sin is destructive. They literally tried to destroy Jesus Christ. They beat him. Oh, did they beat him? They beat him like, whoo, worse than an orphan, worse than a lost child. They beat him more than you could beat an animal. And they treated him like he was a nobody. Whoo, but yet still he forgave them. And when he forgave them, he said, now if you come to me, I'll give you, good God Almighty, after he done that to him, he said, I'll give you eternal life. And you turn around and say, heck with it. Heck with it. Friends, don't be like that. Don't treat God like that. Don't treat his son like that. You need to come to Christ. You come to Christ, guess what? You can have eternal life. Where we at? The Antichrist is here. I believe the Antichrist. This is me talking now. And the way that the calendar is going, the lunar calendar and the Gregorian calendar and the Semitic and the Feast of Trumpets and the Atonement, appointed times. And one thing about God, he is always on time. You talking about a timely God? He is on time, brothers and sisters. I'll show you how on time he is. The seven feast days that are spoken in the book of Leviticus, 23rd chapter, started in Egypt. God made seven appointed times, and every season, every year, for 6,000 years, these appointed times have been on time for God to do his timely chart to bring what? To bring the rapture in. Uh-oh. Let me tell you and explain it to you. The seven feast days are this. Number one, the Passover. Number two, the unleavened bread on time. The third one, the first fruit, the resurrection, on time. The next one, you got Passover, unleavened bread, the resurrection, and then you got Pentecost on time. When the day had fully come, the church was filled with the Holy Ghost on time. And by being on time, you cannot deny that God ever made a mistake on time, because he's a timely God. And when he don't come, when you think he ought to come, he's still on time, because time is like a hand clap to God. Time is a short space between two eternities. And one day, God is going to shut down eternity, and Alpha is going to kiss Omega, and time is going out to oblivion. Time is going to go to another dimension. The next 3 days to be Next three feast days to be fulfilled on time. The fifth one is called the Feast of the Trumpet, which represent rapture. Rapture, guess what? Rapture is going to be on time. Next one, Yom Kippur, the second coming of Jesus Christ, It's going to be on time. When he comes from heaven at the end of the seven-year tribulation, it's going to be Yom Kippur that he comes back to the earth on time. Good God Almighty. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't have to go through a theological school to learn this. Woo, I got on my knees fast and pray, Lord, you show me. Because I got to tell y'all something. We better get on time. And the last seven appointed times is known as Feast of Tabernacle. Feast of Tabernacle represents the 1,000-year millennium. Starts on time. I'll be there on time. If you didn't get saved during the millennium reign, if you didn't get saved at all, you'll still be in the grave. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be right there when they crown him. I'm going to be there at the Lamb's Supper. I'm going to be there when they go out into the OK Corral or the Golden Corral or the Sanctified Corral and get your horse. Good God Almighty, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't read the 19th chapter 11 verse of Revelation where he go out and get on a white horse, Jesus Christ gets his white stallion. And he gives every saint of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I can't shut my mouth on this. I'm going to get on my white horse with my, I don't know if I have golden shoes on or not, but I'm going to have a white robe on. It's going to breeze in the wind. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, let's ride. Where are we going? We're coming back to earth dressed in white, riding white horses. And we're going to come back to earth, and we are going to destroy the wicked at the Battle of Armageddon. That's where all the armies of the world will plot to overthrow Jerusalem, just like Magog and Gog is trying to overthrow Jerusalem and get back down in Jerusalem and captivate Jerusalem. But this is going to happen during what? The tribulation period. The Battle of Armageddon will come to a full battle after the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. You better listen, because God is on time. Brothers and sisters, God ain't playing. God ain't playing with Brother Timothy, and he ain't playing with me. And I ain't playing with God. I know Brother Tim ain't playing with God. He got to tell you the truth. Jesus Christ is soon to come back. This Antichrist, I'm going to say this, and I only got about 8 minutes to say this. Jesus Christ, after he raptures the church, there won't be one person on this earth saved or know anything about salvation. But God is going to introduce to the world and the world only for the first and last time. Seventh chapter of Revelation, God said, John said, I've seen four angels stand on the four corners of the earth to hold back the wind. And he said, don't let judgment fall up on the planet until I seal 144,000. The seventh chapter of what? The seventh chapter. Woo-wee. Glory be to God. The seventh chapter of Revelation puts us in the first part of the 3.5 years. God said, I'm going to send 144,000 Jews. And these Jews are going to preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel of grace is done. Now we come to the gospel of the kingdom. 144,000 Jews will preach the gospel for 3.5 years. And the 3.5 years will be preached for 3.5 years. And to hurry on, after the 3.5 years, 12,000 from each tribe will preach the gospel, which means 12 times 12 is 144,000 Jewish men that will preach 3.5 years the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, that Jesus Christ is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom, letting you know this is the last 7 years for the gospel to be preached. And then after they get through preaching, a great host of people will receive salvation through the preaching of the 144,000. 144,000. It will be a worldwide universal revival. And that revival will take us on into the middle of the tribulation. And during the tribulation period, Satan will do a false resurrection and cause the world to wander after the beast. And after the beast come forth, God sends two men. After 144,000, he's going to send two men, Moses and Elijah. They're going to come back and preach the last 3.5 years. And the world will hear the gospel. And then the end. You need Jesus. It's not far off. The rapture is not far off. You need Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth. And believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Jesus loves you. And he loves you so much that as you come to him and repent of your sins, he will save your soul. He don't take all night.